This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food, and of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Blackstone Audio presents Starman Jones by Robert A. Heinlein. 1. The Tomahawk. Max liked this time of day, this time of year. With the crops in, he could finish his evening chores early and be lazy.
The book's cover was illustrated in lurid yellow and green. It depicted a man and woman entering a shadowy forest. Behind them, a spaceship was shaped like a giant light bulb and perched on the surface of some strange planet. In the sky above, alien octopi bobbed like sentient balloons, peering down at the humans with a mix of curiosity and hunger. The book's cover must have captured the young David Robert Jones' imagination. Written by science fiction legend Robert A. Heinlein, Starman Jones was published in 1953 when Jones was just 6 years old, and the sci-fi-loving English lad who would grow up to become David Bowie considered it a favorite. Surely he was captivated by the fact that the story's aeronautical hero shared his last names and that, with a bit of imagination, he might someday become his own kind of Starman Jones.
Sempre estar lá e vê-lo voltar. Não era mais o mesmo, mas estava em seu lugar. Sempre estar lá e vê-lo voltar. O tolo teme a noite, como a noite vai temer o fogo. Vou chorar sem medo, vou lembrar de tempo de onde eu vim o mundo azul.
Pointing across the gap. On his left, the guides of the CS&E picked up again on the far side of the gap. The entering ring was larger to allow for maximum windage deviation. On its stilts was the receptor antenna for the power link. That ridge was steeper. There was only one more ring before the road disappeared into a tunnel. He had read that on the moon, entrance rings were no larger than pass-along rings.
You're listening to Bookmark on the Bigger Picture. I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan, and this is Afterwards, the show that focuses on literary connections, on the way books touch and are touched by everything around them, on the various ways we come to read the things we read.
She's a widow maker. She do what she please. Ah, she's a widow maker. She bring you to the knees.
Good songwriting requires technical skill, artistic intuition, and sometimes literary genius. There's something tremendously impressive about being able to create a song that's not only poignant and moving, but also rich with historical or literary context. Leaving aside obvious one-off references to literature, such as the Police's famous nod to Nabokov or Jefferson Airplane's psychedelic foray down the rabbit hole, there are a bunch of great songwriters out there with more encompassing, perhaps even obsessive appreciation for literature. And none more so than David Bowie.
There was a real feeling of inadequacy in that era. I never really felt like a rock singer or rock star or whatever. And I always felt a little bit out of my element, which is a ridiculously highfalutin way of looking at it now from my standpoint, when I look back and realise that from 72 through till about 76, I was the ultimate rock star. I couldn't have been more rock star.
Records and the
but the lifestyle and everything. I mean, it's sort of, you know, anything that was going out there that had anything to do with it being a rock and roll singer, then I'd say, hey, let's go for this, see what it's like.
In my mind, David Bowie was as much an author as he was a musician. His literary legacy, while often overshadowed by his songwriting, is nevertheless both influential and inspirational. I, for one, have always been particularly fascinated by his science fiction roots. Bowie began to develop a science fiction sensibility, drawing on the new wave SF movement of Michael Moorcock and J.G. Ballard, on other writers who used the genre, such as Anthony Burgess and William S. Burroughs, and an older fantasy tradition found in H.P. Lovecraft and Edward Bulwer Lytton, whose The Coming Race is name-checked in O You Pretty Things. Don't kid yourself, they belong to you. They're the start of the coming race. The others up, we finished our news. Homo sapiens have outgrown their use. All the strangers came today, and it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, you pretty things. Don't you know your time when your time is undone? These literary works would set the stage for a great SF rock and roll musical, and indeed, that is what 1972's The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders of Mars was intended to be, with Bowie as the writer rather than performer. The groundbreaking show was bookish and theatrical in every way. There were elements of Japanese kabuki, Italian commedia dell'arte, snatches of Jacques Brel, as well as a solid tradition of English stage. The Coudi Theatre is the finale of Rock and Roll Suicide, where the dying star reaches out to the audience imploring, "Give me your hands, because you're wonderful." In a clear echo of Puck's last words, a call for applause in A Midsummer Night's Dream, "Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends."
I read a quote, somebody called you a surreal cartoon character brought to life.
It was sort of, yeah. Ziggy was. I mean, he was half out of sci-fi rock and half out of the Japanese theatre. The clothes were, that time, simply outrageous and simply nobody had seen anything like them before.
Was there a point where people didn't take your music seriously because you were...
I think I moved out of Ziggy fast enough so as not to be caught by that one. Because most rock characters that one can create only have a short lifespan. They are one-shots, they are cartooning. And the Ziggy thing was worth about one or two albums before I couldn't really write anything else around him or the world that I'd sort of wanted to put together for him.
From the very beginning of his career, David Bowie wore his affinity for space on his sleeve. Whether he was singing as the space traveller Major Tom in his first hit, 1969's Space Oddity, or returning to his iconic role as an alien stranded on Earth for his final album in 2016's Black Star. Bowie's frequent dives into the mind-bending and uncanny realms of science fiction not only shaped his own career, but helped influence science fiction as we know it today. Bowie would show us that science fiction wasn't just about grand space operas and starships blasting lasers at each other above planets light years from Earth. He would show us how it could also be used to deliver striking commentary on our own world, using the uncanny and the odd to shed light on the anxieties that came with being human. In Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars, Bowie plays a bisexual Martian rock star named Ziggy Stardust, who tries to bring a message of hope to a devastated, resource-depleted Earth. If you listen to the story Bowie tells in the album, it gets pretty bonkers, as the mythology of Ziggy Stardust features aliens that travel through black holes, along with other references to space prophets and beings made of antimatter. On the surface, these elements might seem right at home alongside Luke Skywalker's adventures through the galaxy, but Bowie infuses the complex story with pathos, presenting an alien messiah plagued with confusion and discomfort, who Bowie ultimately destroys at the album's climax.
You have an affection for some of these characters that you've created as you...
I think the only time I get sort of, you know, kind of nostalgic about any of that stuff at all is if I see the odd video or something, or I see a bit of the Ziggy Stardust concerts or whatever. No, other than that, I don't think I'm cold about them, but I think it's work done.
In 1976, Bowie played the titular alien in The Man Who Fell to Earth. 40 years later, Bowie returned to that disquieting role for Black Star, which was released on his birthday. He planned it as a parting gift for his fans, as the singer was dying from cancer. But as much as Bowie was influenced by literature and science fiction, his influence upon the genre has also been invaluable. Bowie didn't just make science fiction, he inspired it. In the Sandman comic book series, writer Neil Gaiman specifically based the character of Lucifer on the singer, while Batman scribe Grant Morrison later admitted to basing his version of the Joker on Bowie's 80s persona. Recently, the television series The Venture Brothers cast the leader of a massive super-organization of supervillains as a shapeshifter so inspired by Bowie that he took on the singer's appearance. Bowie not only left his mark on the world of art and music, he helped popularize themes of identity and discomfort in science fiction. People stay
Is it hard being David Bowie?
Not really. Not now. No, it's. I don't have the outsider's problem. I mean, for me, the world that I inhabit in reality is a probably a very different world from the one that people would expect that I would be in. It's quite sedate. It's far removed from a lot of what they would feel would be the limousine trappings of a rock existence or whatever. I went to one of the first art-oriented high schools in England, and I had a very excellent teacher, Peter Frampton's father, who really kind of was quite an inspiration. I went into the visual side of an advertising agency, and I was doing paste-up jobs and small designs for raincoats and things like that. Awful. Absolutely awful.
Maybe you should have kept it too. Well,
if all this goes down the tubes,
you can always
go and get on Madison Ave there with the best of them. I think those days are over.
Through exploring the fluidity and strangeness of such radical roles as Ziggy Stardust and the Thin White Duke, Bowie helped introduce his fans to a worldview that confronted the different and the uncanny, whether it was far away on Mars or right here on Earth. You've been listening to Afterwards. This is Bookmark on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.